Whenever there is a new pastor or a new associate or a guest priest, there's usually two questions that the faithful have, and I'm going to answer them as best as I can and as quickly as I can. First of all, who is he? My name is Monsignor Charles Stutzel. I am now the new pastor here at Holy Family and Prayer du Chien. I'm very happy to be here. My last assignment, I was rector of the cathedral for 8 years in La Crosse. And so when Prairie du Chien came open, the bishop asked if I would consider it, and it didn't take me very long, and I said yes. So you can read more about me. It's in the bulletin article. And as time goes on, I'll tell you even more about myself later. The other question I think that you probably have in your mind is, how long is he going to preach? So the best way to explain it is to tell you a story. It is about a priest who came to his parish, and he was really excited to be there. But he insisted that a clock be installed right on the balcony so that he knew that he could preach 1 half hour. He believed that he should preach 1 half hour, not 29 minutes, not 31 minutes, but 1 half hour. At first, the people tried to tell him very gently and nicely, "Father, you have to cut back on your homily." He said, "No, I preach for half an hour." Well, things went on, and they got a little bit more guttural and tried to tell him in not so polite ways, "You have to cut back on your homily. We like you, but you got to cut back." "No," he said, "1 half hour." Well, this went on for some time, and the people were saying, "You know, we really like him, but how do we get the point across that we want him to preach less than a half an hour?" So they got together without him, and they came up with an idea. So the first weekend that they had gotten together, when he got up after proclaiming the gospel, he looked to the balcony. They took down a clock and put up a calendar. So I promise you, I don't need a clock and I don't need a calendar. But what I want to do is to share the word of God with you, which I hope not only benefits you, but I do it to also benefit me. And what I chose 2 years ago to do was to preach off from the second reading that is proclaimed. For being a priest now, my 39th year, I've always shied not preaching on the second reading, but I thought it would be a challenge to me to do so. And I hope that you will appreciate the word of God as we find it in the second reading. Once we complete this cycle C and begin again, starting with the first Sunday in Advent, I probably am going to go to the first reading because it has a wealth of knowledge. So here goes. We heard this today in our second reading. In my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Afflictions. When reading this sentence, I have had more questions from the faithful, meaning, what does St. Paul mean? Of any passage in Scripture, people are confused. And to be honest with you, I was confused as well. I'm about most of your age here. Few of you are just maybe a year or two older. Some of you are quite younger than I am. And I had always learned that Jesus Christ offered the perfect sacrifice when he suffered and died on the cross. There should be no lacking whatsoever in his afflictions. When Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, it was perfect, and we believe that. And whenever we celebrate the Mass, we remember that perfect redemptive act that Jesus Christ did on our behalf. So why would St. Paul say, "I'm filling up with what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ"? You could say that St. Paul sounds pretty arrogant. Does he think that his sufferings, his afflictions are better than Christ's? He is not saying that. You know, if we could have St. Paul stand right here, I try to picture in my mind, what did St. Paul look like? I kind of imagine in my mind that he might have been short, stocky, red hair, and said, "What I say is true, and that's the way it is." St. Paul was quite blunt. But I think what St. Paul was trying to get across is this, and I'll try to use an analogy that I hope will bear it out better. We see Christ's sufferings, which we share in, and bringing ours to his as complementary and trying to be it as a complete. Let me use an analogy. Hopefully this will be even better. Try to picture this in your mind. Let's say two siblings who have had a terrible disagreement over something that over the course of maybe decades, they kind of forgot about, but they will not apologize. They might not even talk to each other for years until someone says, one of the two, I want to make peace. I want to resolve this. So out of the kindness of his or her heart, he approaches the other to try to settle this disagreement. Now, if the other says, you know, this was a stupid mistake, we never should have fought, we see that both are benefiting. The one who's making the overture wants to make peace, where the other one realized, too, that they were perhaps just as at fault, and it has been resolved, and they can now live amicably. But if you could just imagine the one who could have chosen to apologize as well doesn't do so, it's not complete. Neither are healed. Granted, the one who's gone out of the way has done his or her part, but the other one misses out in what could have been resolved and could have dwelt in love and in peace. That's the way I see us if we don't give our sufferings and our offerings to God. Christ has offered to us and has extended to us his sufferings, but he wants you to unite your sufferings to his. Bring our sufferings to Christ. And it's at this Mass that when we come before God and once again Christ freely offers himself to us in the Holy Eucharist, he wants you to come to him. I know that all of you here suffer in some way. It might be physical, but I'm also thinking to how many of you are maybe suffering spiritually. You might feel distant from God and feels that perhaps God is not listening to your prayers. You might be suffering some anguish. Maybe it might be a loved one who's distant from you, a disagreement, a loved one who never talks to you. You might be suffering emotionally. But Christ wants you to bring those sufferings to his. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to go through suffering? But that's not life. When we got finally back to ordinary time, if we would have gotten back to ordinary time earlier, we would have heard that key transition in the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus asked the question to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And after he got a variety of answers, he says, now I ask you, who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who said, you are the Son of the living God, which is correct. But right away, Jesus said next, if you really want to follow me, pick up your cross, follow me, and then you will truly be my disciple. Meaning that bearing the cross and following Christ is not easy. There is suffering. But the hope that we gain is that we can have our sufferings united with Christ and know there is redemption in suffering. So today, once again, at this Mass, we come and bring everything we can before the Lord. Especially today, let us remember our sufferings. Let us be healed from our sufferings. And knowing what Christ has done for us, in that great redemptive act when he suffered on all our behalf, when his suffering and death was perfect, let us come to him and offer ours so that he will lead us, we hope, to our true and lasting home where all suffering will cease and we hope and pray all we will experience is the total love and the peace of Christ Jesus.
Please note that there will be Mass on some Mondays at 8:15 a.m. at St. John when Monsignor Stetzel is in town. Please check the bulletin every week. Script is available to be purchased right after Mass.